Luke Henson of Green Ronin Publishing, line developer of Mutants and Masterminds, and you're listening to The Gamer's Haven.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
Welcome back to the Gamer's Haven podcast, and we are sort of getting into our discussion early about horrible tattoos. I guess that sort of works with what we're talking about, right?
Congratulations, you won. Hey, cool.
Apparently, Nathan just won. I keep winning the British lottery, if that means anything. I mean, obviously, they still want my Social Security number, account number, and all that, so they could, you know, transfer me the funds. Yeah, I'm not giving that to them.
You should ask them for a traveler's check at a P.O. box.
Yay, that's an idea. But I don't want to respond to their email.
Set up a special email on a computer at a cafe.
Hey, that's true.
After purchasing a cheap P.O. box. Then ask for a traveler's check.
I was just going to give them your address. Just let it go.
If I get the check, I'm not sure.
Anyway, we are going to be discussing today on our marvelous episode. What episode are we on? 55, I think.
I think we're on 55.
Because we skipped 52. 52.
Yeah. Skip 52. 52 just...
Well, we did 52. I just didn't post 52 because it's the best episode ever. And if I posted 52, then obviously everyone would be expect us to be that good all the time. And that's right. Just not going to happen.
And the world would end.
And the world would that good. End. Yes. Maybe I'll post it in December of 2012. I don't know. I'll think about it. Anyway, what we're talking about today is how far is too far. So sort of from the player perspective, from the GM perspective.
And so are we going to define that?
Well, I think everyone's going to have different definitions for it, really.
So what are we talking about? Like, are we talking, like, blood?
I found it.
How far is too far?
I'm taking notes.
Okay, I see.
Blood.
What a surprise.
Blood, stuff.
Guts.
Anyway, we will be right back after this.
Get the newest releases of RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Gamer's Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present. A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.CanadianCrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And we're back, and Nathan was just making the observation that some people aren't smart.
some people.
Okay, everyone's not smart. Okay, most people aren't smart. We're smart. Are we smart?
No, not really.
We're not smart.
We're
we have a podcast, though, that makes us smarter. There, and Becca is showing us pictures of zombie babies.
Yeah, exclusive zombie nursery.
Go, Becca. She's getting some sort of twisted vibe here. Anyway, we are recording this. Yes, we are recording this on September 23rd, so it's the Halloween season is upon us. But today we are talking about how far is too far. And Jeremy posed the question, of course, at the beginning of what does that mean? And I think it means something different for everybody. Nathan, you were talking about running a Call of Cthulhu game that
I've
was...
I've mentioned on several occasions, yes. But I ran some of my earlier Call of Cthulhu games were apparently so bad that I gave my certain players nightmares. Since I was informed of that, I have never run such a serious Call of Cthulhu game since, because you know that's going a little too far. When your player actually is affected by the game outside the game for extended periods of time, I've gone too far. So that's the only experience I can think of where I've gone too far. I've been in games where the GM has gone way too far.
Yeah, Jeremy.
All I can say is cream corn.
That is a bit much.
That's all I can say is cream corn.
Or the doppelganger in the closet.
Well, I guess
that was just creepy.
Yes, but you realize that went too far when Robin let you know. I guess that really is part of it is to know that you're going too far. Someone has to let you know that you're going
right,
too far.
If you don't know,
because
you keep going.
I think what the point is different people are going to have different levels of going too far. Like cream corn, for instance. Luckily, we stopped him before he has shown up to the table with cream corn. He's only threatened to do so. But to going too far as a GM or a player, I think as a GM, really, you just sort of have to take a litmus test from the players themselves and sort of gauge how well they'll handle things. But what kinds of things are going too far? Is it the gross factor? Is it... blood and gore, some romance.
Depends on the players. Depends on the situation. Sometimes, you know, blood and gore can go way too far.
Mm-hmm.
Way too far.
We're also doing this on the heels of our gaming addictions episode. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's one extreme of behavior to another extreme of behavior of running a game, but running it a bit. Well, too serious isn't really the right words for it, but
I seem to recall running or playing in a game where one of the other players was absolutely obsessed with when he it was the first third ed D&D game I played. He was absolutely obsessed with describing how in extremely graphic detail how horribly he killed the monsters and stuff, and it got to the point where he actually ended up not getting invited back to the game, but his descriptions were so bad that he was causing people who were eating to become violently ill. And, you know, that to me is going a little too far. You know, I can understand saying, you know, oh, you got the monster and it falls over to the ground in a puddle of goring blood, but when it's like, I ripped the monster's guts out and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and then you're just like, okay, stop. I don't want to know.
Well, that's just to get the, you know, get everybody going.
Well,
you start at the beginning of the night with that, and then as time goes on and everybody's half asleep, you're like, I killed a monster. I roll the dice. I killed the monster.
Well,
have
you guys... I mean, some of us have been in situations, I think, as players where we've seen GMs go too far and seen other players go too far. What experiences have you had, Jeremy? Lesbian vampires, for instance?
Oh, my God.
Well, we did have...
We
did have a GM who really was too descriptive on sex and basically it was very pornographic.
But it was funny at the time.
Well, only certain times. Sometimes the laughter was more of a ha ha ha, I should get out of here and never come back.
I don't think we're talking about the same person.
When your gaming is when your gaming people are limited, you sometimes have to
curb your enthusiasm?
Deal a little bit, but there was too much description and too much, I don't mind seriousness, and a little bit of romance in a game is okay to a point, and even some joking sex is funny, because, I mean, gaming usually has some element of life in it, and we are humans, so, but there comes a point when you're like, okay, there's really, okay, we understand what goes on. You know, it's like the description of, okay, well, you know, fine. There's three prostitutes. I'm going to have a grand old time. That's great.
Yes. Moving on, and then fade to black, and the morning is here.
Now, if there's something amusing that's not really gross, fine. Okay. But, like, I did have a GM who was funny about the sexual stuff, and that was fine.
That was good, Mike, right?
Yeah, that was good, Mike. And that was just funny, because everything was funny, and it wasn't pornographic. I think I have a problem with the pornographic in a game. Or shall we say...
Nathan is fondling his guitar.
Yes, my wife bought me for my birthday present the Beatles Rock Band Rickenbacker 325, which is like my favorite guitar, so... I'm like happy.
His favorite guitar from his favorite wife.
Yes. From my own.
Are you storing multiple wives somewhere?
She is copy Becca.
Yes. I'm working on the great clone device. I will have 50 Beccas.
Okay, well, it begs the question, you know, of going too far. How would you define going too far, Jeremy?
Well, it really depends on the situation. I mean, I don't like extreme scenes of torture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have, you know, I mean, there's a difference between describing how horrible, you know, the demon is. But there is a point
to dumping cream corn on the table.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, if the cream corn had to do with the description of the ogre at the time, that's valid. But well, that wasn't really a torture scene.
Lunch at the time.
Well, you shouldn't be eating lunch.
You shouldn't be eating lunch. Shouldn't be eating lunch with the threat of ogres in Jeremy's game.
Ogres,
oh, is it only female ogres?
It's only female ogres. The male ogres are still gross, but they're not as gross.
As gross.
But there was no, like, really horrible scene. Like, I think a good example of something I don't want in a game is, what is that movie I hate so much?
House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses. If that was a game, I would not play in it.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about? House of a Thousand Corpses?
Yes, the Rob Zombie film.
The Rob Zombie film.
That wasn't a movie. That was a snuff film.
Yeah, that was disgusting and dumb.
Right.
This coming from people who, you know, we can sit and watch movies like, you know, Jason X and, you know, those types of movies and actually make horrible, horrible fun of them because they're absurd.
I watched a really bad movie. Well, oops, sorry. It wasn't really bad, but it was horrifying. It was a torture movie. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called Hostel.
Yeah, I won't watch it.
Not on my list of stuff to see.
Yeah, I'd heard... People said it was a good movie, and so we bought it because, you know, I heard it was a good movie. And I never have finished it. Becca finished it, and she said it was the most disturbingly grotesque movie she's ever watched in her life. And so it sits on the shelf. But the thing is I sat through some really dirty, really bad scenes in that movie before I stopped watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, that's still nothing compared to some of the crap that we've listen to.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's especially with movies in general is you have there's a line that is crossed, you know, and I call it the cheese line, is you have movies that are so bad they're cheesy, then you have movies that are so bad they're just bad. And,
the one with the, you're gonna have to smurf this out. Jeremy, what was the name of that movie with the splooge demon?
The splooge demon!
Oh, yes.
That was,
Oh, is that Faust?
It
yes. The guy who was the Wishmaster was
right.
in it.
And it was nothing like the actual Faust.
Yes, it was horrible.
But it had a splooge demon.
Yes, yes.
She was supposed to be the Whore of Babylon.
We decided she was a splooge demon, yes.
She was a giant, dripping white...
Ew.
Well, that was her punishment.
That was going too far.
I mean, they just... It was like... I don't know. They turned it into...
Well, the same thing...
Buckets!
The same thing can happen in games, as you've talked about before, the no-hair monkey, you know?
Well...
And...
I've seen the no-haired monkey, too, and that's horrifying.
Yes, yes. I have seen the picture of it, and it was horrifying as well.
And there's... The thing is... A lot of this stuff is okay in small doses. It's just the description reaches a point where you're like,
okay,
you know,
that's too far.
Blood, guts, you know.
I think as a GM, you need to sort of gauge how the players are reacting to things and adapt as quickly as possible. In the case of like a Call of Cthulhu game, is if you're scaring them too much, you know, and you're literally noticing the uncomfort there, it's, you know, dial it back a notch type of thing.
See, that's the thing. There wasn't any indication of
uncomfortableness.
It was just that.
Yeah.
It goes on the players
as well, that as players or as GMs, I think the key thing is communicate if you're uncomfortable about something.
Well, yeah.
Once they told me that they had nightmares,
If you don't say anything, there's nothing that can be done typically. So
but also it depends on the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on if you feel like you're in a safe place. It depends on a lot of things. And also, do you want to...
My Call of Cthulhu games never happen in a safe place.
Well, no, I don't mean like a...
There was the time
like
on the drawbridge
physical,
that was going up and, you know...
I mean like a physical
condemned
place.
Condemned building and the...
Yeah, I mean like a physical place, like a true physical place, like there are certain places where I just don't feel comfortable gaming
right.
at, and it's just like, well,
yeah,
that's
like, I was not just making a joke. No, most of my Call of Duty games until we got a house never ever happened in a comfortable place. They happened in places where people were uncomfortable, and they were usually chosen for the fact that it put people on edge, which gives a distinct feeling to how Call of Cthulhu feels when you play it. If you've got the right group and you have the right atmosphere, the game just goes better for people. People
mm-hmm.
have a better time. And so, yeah, when I say my game's never happened in a comfortable place, I'm telling the truth.
What, like the back of a Volkswagen?
Yeah, the back seat of a Volkswagen.
Oh, okay.
Well, then those are places I would not, like, I'm not going to game in a...
game Call of Cthulhu anyways, so...
Well, but I'm not going to game anything in, like, an abandoned building.
Yeah, that's just dangerous. That's the same thing of going and gaming in steam tunnels,
I mean,
for crying out loud.
That's, like, ridiculous.
Gaming in an abandoned building is going too far.
Yeah, it brings me to that, is it's not just the actual game itself being played, it's the behavior of...
The behavior
of actually...
Of
the players, of the GM, but not in-game, but out-of-game.
Out-of-game things.
You know, if you're in a game store and you're gaming in their game room or something like that, you don't want to
drop
you know,
the F-bomb every 3 seconds.
Yeah, you don't want to go overboard and embarrass the store, embarrass yourself, you know, and drive customers out, sort of thing. But if
you do want a player, if you want the players to hate a villain,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of grime and stuff is okay.
Right.
When the dark gnome rips off the skin of possibly one of the village's children and throws it at you, you hate that thing.
Yes.
So you want to kill it. And
well,
is it gross?
What do you expect?
Is
That's
it
true.
Gross? Yes. I mean, a little bit of description is okay, but there is a reaches a point where
yeah.
there are certain topics that I will not...
So ultimately, it's be aware of your environment, be aware
right.
of your players, be aware of your GM if you're a player, and as a player, I think you don't want to hijack the story with stuff like that, especially, you know, the descriptions of how you're killing the monsters and that sort of thing.
If it goes too much.
As Ethan angles the mic towards me, I'm taking my chair back. Need to add little creaking sounds there as the mic comes back towards me. Now I don't remember what I was saying.
Well, it's...
You have distracted me.
The Book of
Excellent.
The Book of
I went
Darkness
too far.
Is a good starting point where things go too far.
That's true. Nipple-clamps of exquisite pain.
The hoo-ha ring of ultimate power or whatever.
Well, but
Or really, I would say not even Book of Vile Darkness. There's Book of Erotic Fantasy, I think.
Well, that's pornographic and stupid.
Yes.
I'm glad that company did not print any other books in that line.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a hot chick in chainmail.
Oh, no, there's no problem with that.
There's problems when the description, and same with, you know, I mean, if he went the other way too, I guess. But the Book of Vile Darkness, though, I point that out because while it was a very good book, like written, and it did introduce interesting topics, it's a starting point for things that would make not just in you. There are some bad places that go. Like, that's what I'm pointing out. It's like with the wrong group of people, that book would bring up a lot of things. Like there's just certain topics it's not good to game around. And then, yeah, the Book of Erotic Fantasy just...
Yeah, I mean, it's for some people, but it's, you know, definitely not our cup of tea, but...
It was a waste of a book.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it helped the image of gaming in general really at all.
No.
Especially when you're trying to, you know, portray gaming as, you know, a reputable pastime, something that, you know, should be taken seriously or could be taken seriously. And then you turn around and they go, well, what about this book? And you go, oh... can we ignore that book, please?
How about those books by, oh, what was that gaming company where the chicks got...
Avalanche.
Avalanche for a while.
Avalanche
there.
Press.
I think their artwork went a little too far.
Yes. Just a tad. We've discussed Tits, the role-playing game.
And have
yes.
you noticed how the artwork has gone the other way, though? How they've kind of... They aren't really doing that with a lot of the core books.
Yeah, well, WotC's never been real bad about that, though.
Right, but even some of the... I've been kind of looking at some of the other stuff, and so far I haven't seen anything that's just so kind of out there. I mean, and we're not prudes at all. I mean, we're...
Now...
we like the naked female form as much as the next guy.
Well, yes.
There are certain occasions when it's inappropriate.
No, and I was just talking about how it going too far doesn't just sort of dictate what in-game, it also goes with out-of-game.
Right.
Now, for some people, going too far, it was brought up recently in one of the podcasts I listened to. It talked about basically how other gamers think of other gamers.
Right.
And you have... you know, like board and card gamers, RPG,
role-playing
gamers, LARPers, and that sort of thing. And where you have, like...
Vampire Masquerade or LARPers.
Well, you have... usually you have board gamers who sort of look down on RPG or role-playing gamers, or vice versa. And then you have, like, gamers who look down on LARPing, you know? And I'm curious to see what you guys what is too far in that what is going too far in that aspect, because there are some people who, like, look at you and go, oh, playing board games, that's fine, but you play D&D, yeah, I'm gonna have to say you're crazy and I'm gonna have to go. But have you run into that? Have you guys ever run into that?
The only thing I can think of is were you there with me, Jeremy? It was back when...
It's cool. It's cool. Yeah.
It was back when it was... the Battle Zone was out, you know, out on the way out of town towards Clinton Lake. I don't remember who it was that was there, but I remember hearing this guy came in from the gas station and was asking what people were doing. And he was all nice.
That
nice
was great.
And he goes, what are you guys playing? And they're like, oh, we're playing D&D. And he just launches into this tirade about how, oh, you're going to burn in the fires of hell for playing Satan's game. And one of the players grabs the Dungeon Master's guide and goes, quick, what's the page for the disintegration spell? And the guy freaks out and goes shooting out into the parking lot, screaming at the top of his lungs about the demon the demon worshippers.
See, I'd pay to see that. That'd be funny.
It was funny at the time, but man, the fact that someone honestly thought...
Well, and
I stand behind and say, if you know, if churches and religions actually granted clerical powers, it would be more popular. Well, I'd go to church if I could.
Popular, but think about
people are
religious stoned. Warfare would
and
be
also
unfortunate.
If reading the D&D books allows me to use magic, I want a refund because I've been reading these for years now, and I sure as heck can't cast Fireball. I can't even cast a light spell.
But that's because you're doing it wrong.
Just touch the switch.
But I want to use magic.
Well, you're going to have to work
a
little bit harder.
I'm sorry, screwed on that. That magic doesn't exist.
I'll flick energy at you.
It's called science. It's not working.
I'm moving the fog with my mind.
Okay.
She's casting a light spell.
Right, back to labeling. Ooh. So, I think when labeling is like just for funny, amusing things, for that it's okay, but when somebody freaks out, like Nathan's story there...
Yeah, that's a bit much.
That's a bit much.
I could have sworn you were there with me when that happened.
Yeah, I was, but I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
But Chick Tracks, that's a good example of somebody who's freaking out and has gone too far.
That man needs to have his head pulled out, have the cranial rectal inversion removed.
Well, he goes too far in everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just gaming.
Yeah.
But, I mean, too far could be details, too. Now, we're just talking about the gross and the taboo elements, but that could also be, I like that word, taboo.
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 Sounds like something that sound a cow would make. Taboo.
I hope not. I hope a cow's not saying taboo.
That'd be a scary cow.
That'd be a tasty cow.
Well, all cow are tasty.
Anyway, so details. When is going too far on details? On a game. I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
When is going too far on details?
Yep.
Well, let's see. Coming across the shattered remains of a Native American camp that's been killed by some army. Well, this is not your game. This was a Wild West game that I played in. And describing the burnt.
No, you guys got driven off by the cavalry before that all happened.
Yeah, that happened afterwards.
Discovering the burnt and twisted bodies of the children afterwards. In the tents and stuff like that, and as the guy put it, the raped remains of the women. That's
a bit much. Yeah,
that's going a little too far. I understand that if we come across the remains of a camp that's been ransacked, more than likely the women have been raped and murdered. But you don't have to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
My mind can think that.
I mean, depending on the players, though, characters.
It's the whole notion of your brain and your mind will fill in the gaps in horrible, horrible ways that words won't describe.
That's why horror movies that don't show anything are always thought of as more terrifying because your brain is much more terrifying than anything they could put on the screen.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was saying more details in the sense of you're putting too much, not necessarily gross detail, but just details in general.
Mm-hmm.
For example.
That's true.
Colors from Robert Jordan.
Too much flavor text.
Robert
Jordan. Is that what you're? Oh,
I love. I really love his books, but he really went off on the clothing too much.
And
in the later books, cleavage
and cleavage. It was clothing and cleavage, and you're like, okay, I understand who they are, what they're wearing. That's wonderful. Get back to the story. Blow something up. Tell more of the story.
Yeah, have him do something crazy cool.
I understand that this type of person, because we've already had it explained multiple times, this
or would you
type
say,
of
like,
person
more detail at the more detail at the beginning of the story than at the end is something that you would recommend as far as in those books it's like, there's 11 books, 12 books, whatever. Is more detail at the beginning as to who people are, but in later books he shouldn't have gone into such detail, that sort of thing.
Because
you already know the characters, that sort of thing.
Every once in a while it's good to do a description because people forget.
Right.
But think about if we were gaming and I suddenly went into a 3-hour rant about the dress the NPC is wearing, everybody would walk out.
One of us would have fired.
And then had to throw a can of
one of us would stabbed her.
But,
stabbed her before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would have stabbed her.
And she's wearing stabbed.
But she's a hero. Stabbed.
Stabbed.
Why
but
are you
then it's
her?
Then it's like other details. It's like right now I'm working on
the planes.
Nobody cares.
Yeah,
I care, but I'm not going to beat it over your guys' heads if you're playing in my game. Unless you go there, it doesn't really matter. It's meaningless.
Now,
no, it's not meaningless.
This
it
is sort of on a
this
is sort of on a tangent, but I do want to know your guys' thoughts on it. Is details in your game. Talking of the Robert Jordan books, the Wheel of Time stuff, is...
You know who else is really bad for that?
Well, you have... In those books, you have the common knowledge and you have the different ideas of, you know... It feels like a very
color
in-depth...
Coded.
It feels very in-depth, yes, Jeremy. It's very OCD. Almost as bad as me. Not quite.
You know what's funny is I found I have an OCD disorder, too. I'm a completionist.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm more or less the same way. But you have, in those books, and I found it, you do it well in your game, Jeremy, is the feeling that the universe is lived in, and the feeling of... how do you guys talk about conveying information that characters would know, but you can't expect players to read, you know, 12 volumes of background information to get it?
Well, I just assume, like, how I started off as one, even though I understand the players don't know, I don't go with that assumption.
Right.
Meaning, I just assume you know. But I also know you're going to ask the question. So, like, I'll be talking to somebody,
mm-hmm.
and they may be going, but part of that is trying to get them into it.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I'm talking about this, you know about, you know, everybody knows what blight chickens are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what blight chickens. And the players are like, I don't really know what a blight mm-hmm. chicken is, but your characters do.
Yeah, and you know, Nathan, you do the same thing with your fantasy setting. I think when you're doing it, when you're playing in a fantasy setting or running a fantasy setting, it's a lot harder to convey that general knowledge than, say, in a Call of Cthulhu game where you're playing in the 1920s.
Yeah,
you know, then it's a lot more familiar. You know, it's like, oh, I'm in the United States. We're in, you know, Kansas City. Da,
but
da, da.
You can also compare it to things. Like, you can say, well, this type of this.
Yay! We have background music
that
now.
That must be the commercial break.
Damn program, and it still comes on.
That's awesome. Yeah. What were you saying, Jeremy?
Right. That's why when you create a race, like a human race,
mm-hmm.
I think it's good to have some comparisons to real life.
Is that like the half-man,
groups?
Half-human race?
No. Different story. Anyway, what I'm saying is, like, this group is like the English during a certain time, you know? You're like, oh, well, I've studied some history, so
mm-hmm.
I understand. Now, there are elements that are different, but you're taking a real-world piece and kind of saying, it's kind of like that.
So you'd say
and
it's...
that really helps people identify.
Right.
Going into descriptions like that is, you would say, is not going too far.
No, those are okay.
Right.
Because
as long as it's not
the
15
players,
pages of notes.
Yeah.
That's true. As long as it's not a dissertation on,
right.
on, you know, 17th century British history.
Now, if the game goes that way, I mean, we've all had sessions where there was supposed to be combat, but... we randomly get into this conversation about something just random, and it just goes on, and people are happy with it.
Or we get into the whole aspect of role-playing and are doing all this role-playing and never actually make it to the combat situation, which has happened.
And descriptions are important. And then when you give the description and the GM messes up later on and the player corrects them, you know, though...
like, goddamn it.
But you know that they're paying attention.
It's nice
it may be annoying, but they're paying attention. They're like, now wait a second. That person's name wasn't Richard. It was Robert last time. Well, my notes, I wrote down the wrong one. So, smurf you.
So, you're 10 die 6 fireball, no saving throw.
But at least they're paying attention. But they're
I think ultimately that's the goal. As GMs, you want your players to be paying attention.
And also,
yeah, except for the fact that even though we've been paying attention, what are we on? Session, like, 15 of Andre's
we just finished, last session was 18.
Yeah.
18.
And we still can't get the name of Lake Castle right?
Of White Castle, yes.
Yeah.
It obviously
like,
isn't important.
I just
Castle.
Do it on purpose now, just because it's music.
I was like, let's just make it Lake, why don't we just make it White Lake Castle?
White Castle, White Lake Castle.
White Lake Castle.
And
then at least
White Castle Lake.
Part of that comes from the GM's love of their gaming world, or their game. If they really like their world because they've created it and they have stories in their head, it's going to be a lot more believable and fun to play in. And that type of detail is okay. Now, if I hand you a book of 300 pages and say, well, you need to read this before we game.
I'm gonna
that's not going to happen.
I'm going to hit you with my Spanish textbook and leave.
I can barely get anybody to read 3 pages of anything.
Yeah,
next time I'm just going to do, like, I don't know. And I'm the same way. I'm like three pages. What's this crap? I'm gonna draw stick figures now. That's what I'm gonna do. And you'll be like, well, on there, you know, you had equipment. I've got equipment.
I have rope.
I have rope. Yeah, I spent, you know, 3 hours.
I have a translator.
I've got a translator. It's like, did you look at the character sheets? Did you look at... No.
No.
It's like the same in my character history. I got a character history. I've got it.
Oh, yes, enemy? In Deadlands. It's like, whoa! Hey, there was gold involved there.
There's gold involved. And his my enemy's name is here?
Whoa.
I have paper. And it has stuff on it. We're all like that.
Well,
that's not necessarily fair because my character has that twisted fate in Deadlands or whatever it's called, what is it called, the twisted fate or whatnot, where I pulled a joker when I was drawing my stats, so something really terribly bad is going to happen to me, but it's not in my character history. As a matter of fact, I don't have a character history because I don't remember it. Something about being, you know, shot and hung and everything else that goes along
but,
with
but
that.
But if you were handed a 3-page, you know, document, would you read it?
I read through all the notes that Ethan gave me.
Well, also keep in mind, Deadlands has been a campaign that's technically started almost 5 years ago. So,
yeah, it was kind of a requirement to figure out what
so it
was doing.
Oh, we're getting back to this. Maybe we should refresh your memory a little.
Well, just because I do that, I have no, as a GM, I have really no pity.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll put stuff in character sheets, and then if people don't see it, I'll be like, whatever. I don't.
Yeah, I'm kind of brutal like that. It's like, oh, you didn't write that down? Oh,
yeah.
Guess it vanished into the ether.
So we've got money. Holy crap, we've got like 3,000 gold. Yeah, yeah. You've been, you know,
stuffing it in one of your boots.
You know, last time when you said that I don't give any loot, it's because you didn't write it down, jackass.
Whoa, we have loot? Sweet.
We have magic. I have clothing? Sweet.
It's not written down.
So I guess to wrap up the sort of idea we're getting across with this whole thing is go with the flow of your players. If you have players that desperately want this deep, you know, description and this deep, you know, meaning to whatever it is they're doing, you know, and if you only have one player that's like that, then I'd talk to that player. But if you want all your players like that, well, okay, fine.
I mean, you can use whatever description you want. Just make sure that if you touch, there's certain things that are touchy.
Yeah.
Like slavery.
Yeah.
You know, a touchy thing. But, I mean, the Book of All Darkness, great example of things that are touchy.
Yes.
I mean, do we really want to...
I mean, if you ever have a concern as a GM or even as a player before you bring something up, you know, bring it up out of game and say, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. And,
if the players,
you know, if the GM says, well, I don't think that's going to work, then don't do it. If the GM says, well, I think that will work, and then it's the GM's responsibility at that point to sort of discuss it with the other players and be like, well, we're going to be doing something pretty, you know, pretty heavy in this, you know. I just want to make sure you guys are okay with some very serious drama at this point, you know. And or if, you know, sometimes the players are just going to want, you know, we're here to relax. We don't want anything, you know, too cerebral. Let's just have a fun time, you know. And it's like with Deadlands, I don't get too heavy into descriptions in Deadlands because I don't think you guys want too heavy of a description in Deadlands. But there are and even in Call of Cthulhu, you can do that. Is you just, you know,
describing the crime scene can just drive some people nuts.
Yeah, I mean, and you just sort of gauge what you know. You as a GM, especially if you've been playing with people for a long time, is you know where their limits are, and you know where to stop before going too far. And I think a good GM will keep that in mind when he's planning a scenario. And then there are times when going just over the line is not bad.
Yes, if you can get that look and that kind of
but if you
laugh,
don't overdo it,
yeah,
I think.
As long as you don't overdo it. But if you can get the reaction of how do you sleep at night,
yes,
that can be very – that can make you feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole how do you sleep at night, yeah.
But if you're uncomfortable, don't go to, like, you know, a Vampire Masquerade LARPing where they're like having sex on the table or some crap like that.
No, it was a cave they were having sex on. And it turned into an orgy, which was very, did they very disturbing.
Did they use rock, paper, scissors for their... No? Okay.
I don't know.
When they were smurfing?
I don't think so. I got to hear the stories and I went, wow, I'm really glad I never went and did that game with you guys then.
It's all about just what the limits are. Whether good, you know, description, bad description. Don't really expect your players to read, like, you know, 40 pages of stuff. You know, I'd probably keep it below 10 pages.
I usually try to keep it to one.
You know, really, no. I think it's almost...
Players have a very small attention span, usually, I found.
I really like, actually like the one-page thing like that you kind of hand out as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, I've got a one-page description of stuff. Then as the game goes on, like... I like what your brother does. I don't remember all the XP we get. I don't remember when I put in it.
Oh, right.
But he has it all listed out, and we can go back to that site at any time. That's just enough detail. And if we want, the tallest detail's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't forced to read it all.
No.
If we want to, cool.
I mean, more and more companies are putting out like little player's guide like mini books that you can get. Which is nice, honestly. It is something you can send. Hey, if you want more information about this, there you go. But I would like a one page thing for most places. Be nice. Here's the basics.
Page,
you're done.
One page handout. You know, you could have 10 pages of the stuff, but as the game goes on, like maybe you run into a certain group that's important. You have a description. You've described it. Then you put that in the player's
mm-hmm.
character sheet. So they're like, oh, well, I remember now. You know, that type of thing.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap that up, and we will be back with the three-parter here in a moment.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Fat Dragon Games, Green Ronin Publishing, and Wizards of the Coast. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Vorpal Network and the Gamer's Haven proudly present 1,000 Monkeys production of a Monty Cook adventure. Tolus, the Knight of Dissolution. An adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tolus, the city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded surgeon in shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the Night of Dissolution? A dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tolus and bring catastrophe to the world.
We are back, and today on the wonderful three-parter, Jeremy and Nathan and possibly me will talk a little bit about this whole D&D online thing and how it's now free and all that crazy stuff. Jeremy's also got a review of the Manual of the Planes, and I've got a shameless plug. So we will go ahead and start off with the lovely D&D online bit. Just a moment. The rant. Okay, D&D Online.
Right, so...
It's free now.
It's free. I decided to try...
We're not talking about D&D Insider.
We're talking about Eberron, D&D Ultimate
what is it?
Online.
Stormreach.
D&D Stormreach is D&D Online.
Stormreach?
MMO.
Yeah, Stormreach is the name of one of the expansion packs.
Okay, I don't know. It says it's Ultimate. It's in Eberron. I was like, whatever. It was free, so I went to it. And, you know, they
You can download it for free. You can play it for free to an extent.
Well, basically,
when it works.
With the first download, you could. They had three different ways you could download it. And basically, on the first download, you could play up to level 4. But I guess they had some sort of free expansion up to level 20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I picked the first download because it was the quickest.
Right.
And it still took 30 minutes, but it's what I expected for the game. So I got it working, and I got a character on there, and I ran around, and the first thing I messed with the graphics a little bit. And the first thing I noticed, I really liked the cartoonish element of WoW, more so, actually. And also WoW runs better on my machine. But anyway, so I make a mage. And, you know...
Fool! Mages are squishy!
Well, the nice thing is you have spell points.
Oh.
So I was like, I can shoot magic missile, and this random thief guy gave me a staff. And I'm barely wearing clothes, but whatever. So, anyway, I join up with this party.
It's not like Age of Conan, where you just don't run around.
Not that bad. No. No, not at all. I was wearing rags, and then I found an apprentice robe or something. Anyway.
So nice how they have those lying around.
Right. So I went on the first quest, and the first quest was really easy. There was, I would call them Murlocs, but they started with an S.
Sagan
or something.
They were
giant. Sagwin?
Yeah, they were Murlocs. But
right.
Anyway, so I get through the first level, and the character, the NPC that's with me, that's taking me through the adventure, is like, "Well, thank you for clearing out this temple. Choose a reward." And I chose a reward. It was a wand, and I was like, "Sweet." And there's a door that takes you to town. So I clicked on the door, and it loaded and loaded and loaded. And I clicked on the door again, and loaded and loaded. After a while, I went and watched Law and Order instead. So I came back, and it still wasn't doing anything. So I turned it off. The next day, I'm like, I'm going to try it again. So I clicked on the game link I have, and it just sat there. And then it started loading. And after, 15 minutes of it loading and nothing happening, I left. So today, I went to check my email on my main computer, because usually I use my laptop. And I noticed down in the corner it said, D&D... Online has finished loading. And I'm like, so it took over 8 hours, more than that, to finish loading. And I can't figure out if it's because of the what download I went with.
Well, I'm looking at the options right here. The Turbine Download Manager, what it is it says right here, to start playing in minutes, get the...
That's the one I downloaded, the first one.
Yeah. If you download this, what it does is it actually downloads the game in the background. It downloads and installs a portion of the game and allows you to start playing quickly. But in the interim, in the background, it continues to download the rest of the game. You have to understand, the full installer for the game for high resolution is 3.8 gigs, approximately 4 hours at 2 megabits per second.
Yeah.
So to give people the idea...
Download it while you sleep.
Yeah, download it and go to bed.
So... But for the people like me who don't care, that's too much reading. So really, there should just be one. And why is it I couldn't get past the first level? Like, I click on it, nothing happens.
Because it was still downloading the rest of the game, and it hadn't downloaded the areas yet.
But it's downloaded fine now. Now I just...
Because you let it set all day.
But that's ridiculous.
I downloaded the whole game.
No, but let me give an example. The Sony Free Realms, okay, took 30 minutes to download. Okay, that's a while. But if I randomly want to play on it, I can click on it, and 2 minutes later, I'm in there, and no loading problems.
Yeah, just so you know, now that you've completely downloaded the game, you won't need to download the game again. It's on the computer.
If I go and click on it, it will come up.
It will be ready for you to...
Because if not, next time, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to rant about it. And say their free thing
sucks.
Crap. I want to run around on their free game, play with my free character up to level 4, because it's free, and I want to have a lot of free fun at their expense.
I'm trying to download this thing just for fits and giggles, and I am downloading. I have my connection here in the house. I usually get about 800 kilobytes a second on the download speed, which is not great, but it's not bad. I'm getting from their connection. I'm getting 50 kilobytes per second.
That's okay. I never claimed that it wasn't.
It's free.
Yeah. I never claimed.
Now I'm speeding up. I'm up to 85.
I never claimed it wasn't
11
my.
11 hours and 50 minutes before I'm done.
Someone quit downloading because they got bored.
I never claimed it wasn't my ineptitude with computers that caused it.
It is your aura of entropy around
But
computers?
I still can complain.
That's true. Oh,
that
yeah.
I did not
it is your right
it
to
is
complain.
It is my right for that free game that I did not get my free fun from that game last night when I tried to play it.
When you wanted the free fun and you wanted it now.
I wanted it now.
All right.
Give me the prize. Oh, wait, wrong one.
But so far, I really don't see...
That's copyrighted.
I don't
dude.
See
Damn
what's...
I'm going to get sued.
Smurf me out.
I really haven't seen any difference about it. Like I said, the graphics are okay.
Speaking of which, since we're on sort of a rant, they're remaking Highlander.
What?
Yeah.
Like
speaking of Give Me the Prize, yes, the first one. They're completely
the
remaking the movie.
All the actors
in the
movie are still alive.
Rebooting it, remaking it, starting it over. You know, because you went from the first one, which was a cinema classic, in my opinion, to the second
cinema
one, which is...
Oh, God, the second one doesn't exist.
Then there was a third one, which... Okay, then there was the fourth one, and then there was the... So there's the first one.
At least... People you can talk about the third through the rest.
Apparently, Columbia Pictures, I think, is the people who picked it up, and they think it's a whole new film franchise. I'm like, oh, God.
Is Sean Connery going to be
there? No, Sean Connery is retired. He's no longer acting.
How old is he, like 200, 300?
Sean Connery? Oh, I don't know. He's immortal and cannot die. No one's taken his head yet, so. But anyway, yeah, that's just a mini rant on my part. So.
Who's going to be the Highlander?
I don't know.
Find out.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Really?
I got nothing.
That's horrible.
I know.
It should be...
Seth Rogen?
That would be funny as hell.
I don't know.
That would be hilarious.
You know who would make a good Highlander?
Me? I got nothing.
You should email them.
Tell them I'll do it.
Yes.
And I'll do it for $1 million.
They probably won't give you that. But if you do it for like, I don't know...
$500,000.
$30 an hour.
Okay.
More than I'm getting paid now.
But anyway,
yes,
Hollywood is all on the reboot thing right now.
I'm wondering if that...
Well, they've been successful with some of the reboots.
I saw a preview, which I'm wondering if it's the one you were talking about. You were talking about Avatar.
Uh-huh. Blue People.
So it's not the one that's Pan... What the hell is that movie? I just saw
The Last Airbender?
No, not that one. I just saw one that I thought was the preview to the
Pandorum.
Pandorum. Is that the actual...
No,
that's
not Avatar. Avatar doesn't come out till near Christmas, and it's Avatar. Pandorum is the new movie...
with the little creepy things.
With the creepy things, yes.
Like the little goblin.
With Dennis Quaid, and yeah. That opens up...
Whoa, Dennis Quaid.
That opens up this...
He should be Highlander.
Well, he's too busy being General Hawk now.
But he could be Highlander, too.
No, he doesn't have a Scottish...
Samuel L. Jackson could be the Highlander.
Samuel Jackson can do whatever
that
he wants.
That would be
really,
awesome,
you know,
with a lightsaber.
But he's too busy being Nick Fury.
With
Ewan
a lightsaber.
McGregor.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing now. He's probably doing
Chuck
stage work.
Chuck
Norris can do anything.
I would love that. That would be fun.
We're going to go ahead and end this right now and move on.
Review.
We are back, and Jeremy has a review for us.
All right, so I'm going to review the Manual of the Planes, the 4th edition version.
Somebody at this table got you for your birthday.
Yeah, I don't really know who, though.
Yeah,
I think it was like the cat.
Yeah, the cat. Good cat. Good.
I also have the 3.5 version in my bag, but Manual of the Planes... I both like and dislike. They've really simplified things, and some of the stuff they've done is actually kind of cool. I like what they've done with the Feywild. I like what they've done with the Shadowfell for the most part, and they've really just made everything simple. You have the Elemental Chaos and then the Astral Sea with all the divine realms. some of it I'm not... I almost think they simplified things a little too much, and while the book is neat, and I really liked reading it, I didn't think it had as much meat as I was hoping. But I'm thinking they may do... They touched upon so many different realms, like the Feywild, or Shadowfell. I'm kind of hoping they do individual books on those, which would be
I think
nice.
They're planning on. I've heard interviews where they're talking about doing a book on the Shadowfell and talking about a book doing a book on the Feywild, that sort
right.
of thing. So.
And some of the stuff, like what they did with the Nine Hells, not bad at all. The Abyss, kind of funny, actually. It's just a piece of evil burrowing down into the elemental planes.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah, well, you know. But they have allowed you to... It's not so set in stone like the... like the Planescape, the actual Planescape.
Ah, right.
It's a little bit
well,
more
it has
pretty.
A lot of elements of Planescape in it already.
It does.
It's interesting to me they're integrating a lot of Planescape into the
well,
new
they
edition.
They actually talk about the Great Wheel yeah. right here. One thing they did is, one, they took what the only good parts out of...
And incidentally, also Ravenloft. Is there's,
right, Ravenloft
the Manes
is
of Dread
of
the
Shadow,
are in
the
Shadowfell,
it looks like. Well, they call them, like... You're
they call
not
them
sure
the Domains of Dread, is
Domains
what they call it.
Domains of Dread. You're not sure if it's what they are, actually. I do think it's funny they have the Dread Emperor in here, though.
Uh-huh.
I wish they would have given stats for him. There are elements that I think people that remember the Planescapes will like, as long as they kind of approach this with an open mind. The book is very well organized. There are a lot of... The artwork isn't bad. Not hokey like some of the original books.
Mm-hmm.
They do have some examples of, like, new obstacles, planar hazards. They touch upon things like... they have Sigil, the City of Doors. But keep in mind, they don't really base things on alignment, like... the old game, mm-hmm. like the Great Wheel. So it's interesting. I do recommend it if you want a starting place. But what I've decided to do is I'm taking the new Planescape or the new Planescape book plus the old Planescape
manual planes.
I'm taking that book, plus I have the nifty old...
Beyond Countless Doorways from Mal
Havoc, mm-hmm.
Which is very Planescape.
Yeah, and what's nice about that is you can kind of come up with your own elements.
Mm-hmm.
They have nice little sidebars, like things like Demon Gates, and they talk about... they have, like, you know, the city of... the Ifrits and the City of Brass. That's just the first one. I don't know if I'm going to do that. And then they break down some of the nice locations, like the City of Brass, Sigil. They do break down parts of the Abyss. They break down... they break down the Nine Hells.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's funny that the Nine Hells is actually floating around the Astral Sea. Because it is a domain of a fallen god. They have things from Spelljammer. The good parts, the Spelljammer vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You have ships for traveling the Astral Sea. They've brought back a few of the realms that you know. Like Celestia is kind of in there. They reintroduced the prison plane. Where is it here? If I can find it. Obviously, they have all the Nine Hells written out. Pandemonium is in here.
Mm-hmm.
Carsey, the Red Prison, that used to be the prison place.
Mm-hmm.
You show up and there's just a giant gate in front of you, and the gods have locked something horrible away in there. You know, they've just done little things like that. The monsters in it, they did some monsters. They have the Astral Dreadnought, which is kind of cool. Some of the monsters are okay. The magic items are kind of lame. I didn't really care much about them. The planar characters are okay. They're Paragon paths. I didn't see any Epic Destinies, though. I was very saddened by that. They do have rituals. What's funny, though, is I saw one of the rituals in here is actually repeated in another book.
Oh, yeah?
And I think they did it because the one printed in here is wrong.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
The Analyze Portal is, like, screwed up, but it's in Forgotten Realms, too. So, they didn't do much with magic weapons, magic items in here. And also, the book just kind of... It just kind of ends.
Yeah.
I mean...
Is there an index in this one? No.
Nope.
Good old Watsy.
I am not liking the whole not having an index. I mean, obviously...
Yeah, that's a pain in the butt. I ran into that when I was looking through the player's handbooks, too.
Now...
Information.
Basically... Let's see here. Who's the main writer here? There's tons of people in here. I don't even know where to start. I mean, you can probably put links on there.
Yeah.
And the Schnotes.
Bosh Notes.
I mean, there's so many. They point out, you know.
General designers on it's Richard Baker, John Rogers, Robert J. Schwab, and James Wyatt. Richard Baker, I believe, is the genius behind Eberron. Robert J. Schwab used to work at Green Ronin. And the other names, James Wyatt is familiar. I don't know John Rogers, though.
Yeah. I just think it's a good taste of things
Maybe
to come.
He's Paul Rogers' brother.
If they do decide to do, like, the Feywild or the Shadowfell, I may actually pick those up if they're done, like, a whole book like this. That would be pretty sweet. I would like that. So it's a good start. Like I said, just with anything, approach it with an open mind. If anything, you can use it for ideas. And if you don't like it, just steal the ideas out of it.
Yeah, because I know when... I have the DMG-2, and they detail Sigil in there, too.
Yeah.
And quite in depth.
Actually, I did notice that. The Sigil in here is okay. But I'm thinking, because I look through that,
mm-hmm.
And I'm...
But overall, on the Manual of the Planes, is...
It's a good buy.
Goodbye?
Yeah, right. It runs for about $30. I could see that for what they've been putting out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as meaty as they used to do, but...
Alrighty.
The Shameless Plug.
All right. I have a shameless plug. If anyone cares and whatnot, just to toot my own horn, is I am now a podcast editor for the University of Missouri, Kansas City newspaper, UNews, the University News, UNews.com. And I might also be becoming their online editor. So I'm becoming all legit and stuff. Yeah. But for those who want to check it out, you can go to www.unews.com/podcasts to see the shows that they do. But that's my shameless plug, is just that's one of the things I'm working on. Yeah.
This podcast is supported by RPG Now, the leading source of indie role-playing games, with over 10,000 RPG titles from over 500 creators and publishers. There are new RPG treasures to discover every day at www.rpgnow.com.
Encounters.
And we are back, and Jeremy is passing around a picture of a toothy vagina. Manual of the Planes, the astral dreadnought picture sort of had us laughing.
Picture. The one on the front is fine, but the one in the back really does look like a toothy vagina. That's horrible.
With crabs.
Ew. D&D crabs. Is it dire crabs?
Possibly.
bad use of artwork. Bad.
Well, it just, I think it goes back to our discussion of going too far.
Yes.
We totally went too far.
Yes, we did.
It also goes back to our original discussion about the fourth ed books, whereas the artwork is so incredibly hit and miss, it's disturbing.
On average, it's good. The thing that annoys me is that they reuse old artwork.
It's like, come on, guys.
A lot of the old artwork. Because when you see the new artwork, they replaced a lot of the old artwork with, you go, why didn't they just use the old artwork?
See, and I think the artwork, since I didn't think the artwork of the PHB was that bad, but
the DMG guide and the monster manual?
Some of the artwork is, like, painfully bad. But, we've got some random encounters to go into, because I've been stockpiling again.
Ooh, a tattoo like that, that would be horrifying.
Jeremy is obsessed with tattoos, because he's gonna get one on his butt or something. I don't know.
No.
We got an email from our good friend Jason, aka Sanjian Unkara. You know, who I still think sounds like a Bond villain, or maybe a villain out of an Indiana Jones film. He emailed us and said, "I was listening to your Tossing Off game, or Mutants and Masterminds. I didn't know it at the time that I started it, that it was the game that joke came from. It started a bit strange. Did I miss some sessions before episodes 1? I thought it was funny that episodes 4, there was a point where the other, where the player playing Cerberus stated, we need a big three-headed dog. To which one of the ladies replied, without skipping a beat, we're going back to my apartment. I thought that was funny that the pause didn't come until after she said that instead of before she said it, Jason.
That was Cerberus' girlfriend.
Yes. To answer the first question, yes, there were episodes before the Mutants and Masterminds game, but we did those before we actually started recording, so they don't exist. They are for your imagination.
You just have to make it up.
You have to all make it up, yes. There were My Little Ponies and Dancing Hats.
And lots of tossing off sailors, apparently.
No, the tossing off sailors didn't start till Jeremy showed up. And he was the one who was tossing off sailors.
Hey, it worked.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
It got
the job done, yeah.
I mean, that's what sailors...
We got another email from someone named Lynx, who is...
Like a cat?
L-Y-N-X, yeah, sure.
Cool.
Screen name is Mewtwo, so... Yeah,
maybe
obviously.
It is a cat.
Who knows? I am a pretty devoted listener to the Wizards College 3.5 play, though as I don't have a life. Anyways, I was wondering if you can post a schedule or something to let people know ahead of time when you are going to release your podcasts. One can only hit refresh X many times in iTunes before he feels even more insane than he is. P.S. Alia Iacta Est means the die has been cast, a.k.a. I've given my go / blown my load. That's Latin. It's Latin 1. It made me cringe as I'm in Latin 4. Come on, guys. I'm disappointed. Loves, or sincerely, Lynx.
Did he just say he blew his load?
Apparently, yes.
We know what Alia Iacta Est means. We actually stated what Alia Iacta Est means. The fact of the matter is we didn't take much Latin after that point, so we don't care.
I got nothing. But as far as a schedule for
Hannibal S.
Wizards College 3.5 is new. Sometimes we don't know we're playing for sure until day of. As far as a schedule, that would mean me saying, hey, we're putting this out, and then if it doesn't happen, then I have to put it out and say, oh, hey, this fell through.
I'll write one in crayon and just we can scan
it's just
in.
It's just a
stick figure.
Entirely me being lazy and not wanting to do it. But no, a schedule for our actual play releases just I don't think would work too well just because it's random enough as it is. So
well, the problem is you have to understand when you get a group of people of any size larger than 3, you're going to have scheduling conflicts and stuff's going to fall through sometimes.
Yeah, as I pretty much said in my response to him was first of all, thanks for emailing us, we love it. And second of all, to actually post a schedule mean we actually would have a schedule.
Yeah. don't.
So, yeah, there you go. He did email back and said, well, if I'm learning anything from AP Calculus, AP Physics, and you guys, it's that math is hard and time-consuming. I didn't think the editing would be hard. I'd offer some same-day services free if I had my comp out of commission. What are you getting your major in? Oh, well, the addict will have to wait until Monday to get it out. Give Andre my best wishes. Well, I'm getting my degree in history and pre-law and becoming a scum-sucking attorney, but that's sort of beyond things.
Andre's getting a degree in education and history.
Yeah. As far as editing, I did want to say, yeah, we don't edit our actual play stuff because that would be really stupid of me to do that because I'm not going to sit around. To give people an idea, the average editing time on a podcast is usually 3 to 4 times the end length. So on a 4-hour recording, I don't have 12 hours to sit there and edit out all of our naughty bits.
Why not? So, don't you have 12 hours just laying around somewhere? I mean, I have 12 hours just laying around everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't work. No, I don't sleep.
We got an email from Galishi. Who said,
hello again.
How do you all actually do Summon Monster 1 in Wizards College? It seemed like a unique and interesting way and much better than the current available tables. I was wondering what you would do for Summon Nature's Ally, though. I'm thinking of running a 3.5 game soon, and I was thinking of allowing this house rule, but if someone wanted to be a ranger or a druid, I was wondering what you would do. I personally think the Nature's Ally table is much better than the Summon Monster table, which makes me lean towards just using the table for it. But I don't want to seem like I'm gimping a whole spell while I bolster another. The way we handle the summoning monsters in Wizards College is whatever level the summoning spell is, that you can summon up to that CR, basically, that challenge rating, from the main monster manual, nothing else. And so, like, a Summon Monster 1, could summon up to CR 1, or you could summon 2 CR 1 halves, or 10 CR 1 tens, you know, that sort of thing.
Because the original ones suck.
Not happy with that. The way I'd handle Nature's Ally really would be...
Dire Bears.
Well, I'd say do sort of the same thing, but only sort of just give them a list of, like, natural beasts, fae and animals and vermin and stuff like that, more natural type of things. But
I would ask them what kind of animal they like, and they can summon that animal. And then as they get higher in level, they can summon a more powerful animal.
That's true. You could just do that. Have them be the same animal
you
summon.
You're like your nature ally, and you're like, I like bears.
I mean, you could start with a CR1 whatever, and then advance it. Yeah.
And then next I summon a dire bear. Then
or you can add
12 dire bears.
You could even add what you could. So yeah, that's something you could do is just have one creature.
Dolphin lays on the ground going, you bastard, we're not even in water.
Yes. And then you can just add templates and whatnot if you want to.
Yeah, fiendish dire bears. Fiendish polar bear. Fiendish skeleton donkey. No, donkey wasn't a template. Fiendish bone.
We don't talk about this. The donkey we don't talk about.
Aw, sad.
We
scary.
Got another email from Joe McJoe. Hey, Joe McJoe.
What was his first email?
His subject line says, on to your evil plot. And he says, I see through your vile organizations and plots and machinations. Your disposal of Nathan is painfully clear. In your last game of Deadlands, Jeremy's wife is, quote, tired and goes to take a nap. Then suddenly Nathan appears. You advertise for Big Ben's House of Haggis, yet after an extensive search of SoCal, I couldn't find a single one. California has strict laws against selling humans as haggis. Your evil mind control beams can't penetrate my tinfoil hat. Anyway, what do you use to record your games and for interviews? I'd like to record my game sessions, and I'm looking for a cheap way to do so. Any suggestions would be great. First of all, he knows too much. We're going to have to destroy him.
Send out Mansquito.
Release the hounds of Tyndalos.
We have hounds of Tyndalos? Are they just hounds of Tyndalos?
No, they're hounds of Tyndalos.
Oh, hey.
How about just a three-headed dog?
You know all that time traveling we did? We very, very, we upset some very, very strict creatures.
Is that Yogg guy who came by?
We don't speak his name here.
Oh, I thought that was the Haster guy. We don't speak his name.
No, we don't speak
the
his
Yellow
name
King?
Either.
No, that's Gnarlthotep.
Oh. No.
Sorry. We can speak his name. He's Boofter.
No. The King in Yellow is Haster, but we don't speak Haster's name. Oh, shit.
Great. Ooh, thanks, Nathan. Poof. Thanks for saying Haster, you jacket. Oh, crap. Anyway, and what do we use to record our games and for interviews? Mainly we use a Olympus digital voice recorder.
Didn't we answer this question in the last podcast?
It's okay. We can answer it multiple times.
Okay. Apparently it's a very, very important question.
I like sticking to Olympus because they work, but I use an Olympus VN5200 PC, which was about $60 or $70 at Radio Shack, but you can also get them at Office Depot and Office Max. It holds 35 hours of high-quality audio and connects to your computer via a USB port. I really like it. It works very well, obviously. It, like, actually, you know, records stuff and voices. I'd say if you're going to record your shows, don't just use, like, an MP3 player or whatnot, because usually the recording quality on those sucks. Mm-hmm. I would spend the money and get an actual digital voice recorder. And you can get cheaper ones for about $30-$40 at Walmart, which would probably do the trick. But I'm just partial to good old Olympus. So, and they're not paying me 1 cent. Cha-ching. Let's see.
They're paying me 15 cents. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, yes. And I, of course, wrote back to Joe and threatened to send ninjas after him. He said, "Your weak threats of ninjas mean nothing to me, as in every good martial arts movie, the disabled are unstoppable engines of destruction. I am legally no longer progressionally blind. Blind get paid to be blind by the government, ergo being a pro blind. And if my blind skills aren't enough, I could call on my one-legged grandpa-in-law." That's true. He could beat him to death with the... And, well, of course, I sent a crappy ninja, yeah, so he probably got ninjas. Perplexed by the curve.
You only sent one. You're supposed to send, like, 30.
I was busy. If Jeremy is still looking for a Beholder Mini, the latest D&D mini set has one. One is a visible set you could order for about $9 online.
Yeah, I'm too cheap.
Yes, Jeremy's cheap.
Find a cheaper one, tell me.
Well, because if you buy it in the package, it'll be $22.
I know. That's a lot of money. I don't have that type of money.
You have to sell yourself on the street again.
Dang it.
Joe also wrote in and said, "Thought you guys might take a look at this. It's a product from Goodman Games called Critter Cash, Lovecraftian Bestiary."
Yeah, they have a couple of those.
And what it is actually is 4th edition stats for a lot of Cthulhu-esque monsters. So, because they actually did some in the level up number 2.
Too.
So, yeah. They've done a couple critter caches and they look very cool.
Creatures.
Yeah.
How much are they? I've been tempted to buy them.
The critter cache, I think they're $5, but I will load it up here and check in just a moment. I'm not ordering anything, so, you know.
Whatever. You should just order everything. I would like one of everything. Look at all this random credit card I have.
While that's loading, I'll move on to the next email. I got an email from someone named John Brengman, who emailed us. Let's look at the Critter Cache real quick, since RPG Now decided to finally load. They are between $4 and $5 a piece. So it's like, well, one of them's $6.
You know, I wish we could find some fans who would be willing to put together all of our PDF buildings and things like that.
That'd be great.
That's really painful.
It's really a pain, yeah.
You guys know that, you know, if we work hard enough, that we've got tons of places in Taiwan and South Korea, where we can just ship stuff off and the little children's hands will put it all together for
us. We could do that.
I don't want to support poor children working in sweatshops.
What if they're working in our sweatshops?
Yeah. Okay, as long as we have dental and insurance.
We'll just sock them in the jaw and knock out their teeth. We got an email from John Brengman. Says, "Hi, guys. My name is John B., and I live in Laramie, Wyoming, and I started listening to Gamers Haven and your podcast shortly after I got my first iPod. I have discovered that I love the Wizards College series as well as Deadlands Reloaded. I'm also attempting to get into a couple of the other series. I wanted to write in to congratulate you on the quality of the podcast, not only because of the entertaining stories and intricate characters that bring game systems to life. In fact, I picked up Keep on the Shadowfell so I could go along with you as you go through the module. Perhaps the funniest thing in the podcast is the humor, and some of it has become legendary." He put that in capitals. amongst my group of friends. Some GMs would be trying to cut down on the non-game talk. Please don't. Otherwise, we would never be able to hear the humor that you guys put into each game. A couple of examples. In Deadlands, Session 11, first or second part, there is a funny conversation between the players about feeding horse steaks to live horses and the idea that doing so would turn them into some sort of werehorse. And I forget who it was, but someone tried imitating a werehorse. I imagine people at Walmart thought I was nuts because I kept almost doing the imitation myself and laughing myself silly.
That was Jeremy.
However,
I wasn't there for that one.
The legendary level epic funny conversation took place in the third session of Deadlands, where the players are discussing how the front of the hotel got blown out. All I have to do is I am a friend of mine and says, a friend of mine, it was vampires, and we go into the whole conversation. The entire opening of that episode was just awesome. Keep up the good work. I was thinking that a possible future episode might be a snippet episode where listeners send in such snippets and tell you why they were so cool. John B.
That would be a good idea.
Because that would involve involvement from our fans.
Yeah. It is always vampires,
by the way,
though.
What's his name?
John.
John. How long have you lived in Laramie? My brother used to live there about, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. His name's Jeremy, married to a beautiful lady named Sarah. You might have known him since Laramie's not exactly a really huge town. But he's into the role-playing game scene, so maybe you've met my brother, which means ergo by proxy, you've met me. Because my brother's a lot like me, aside from being, you know, slightly thinner and much hipper with those cool glasses and soul patch.
There is that. He did send us another email, said, a couple of things came to me. The horse steak conversation was in Deadlands Reloaded, Session 11, Part 4, and our group was answering a phone call. And our group has enjoyed Saucy in the Wizards College series, especially since he acts so much like a Kender. I liked it when he was slowly turning into an earth elemental and kept thinking that everything was so cool. This is about as cool as being a squirrel. Once again, keep up the good work, John B. Like I said, I'll pass that on to Michael, who plays Saucy. So, sadly, we're going to lose him again for about 2 or 3 sessions because of other things going on in his life. But he will be back. So, I found that email very amusing. I got an email from someone named Salcor Matrix.
Really?
Yes.
That's his real name.
Well, no, his real name is Sean Masters.
Let's stick with the other
one. Salcor Matrix. Hello, Salcor.
Salcor.
Yes.
Lord of Chicken. No, that's Sargon.
No, it's Sargon.
That's Sargon.
How about Salcor, Lord of Geese?
Lord of Geese.
Canadian Geese. Just because. I said, guys, I want to say that I just recently found your podcast on iTunes, like earlier today. And I have listened to a number of episodes. Your show is great, and it was kind of interesting to some of the passing Kansas references, such as during the sci-fi episode. So I looked up your website and thought, Canadian Crusaders, huh? Maybe I must have been mistaken. Then I started looking at your bios and said, yep, you guys are from Kansas. You guys are some fellows from Kansas.
Really?
Although, Canada. No.
Really?
We're in Kansas. We're not Canadian, but we could be. Although I haven't lived in Kansas for a long time, I'm a member of the Air Force and move around a lot. I'm originally from Topeka. We're sorry.
Oh, God.
I mean, really. Well, no, it's good. He's escaped Topeka.
That's true. You got out.
You made it out of Ravenloft. I'm originally from Topeka and was a normal visitor to the Gatekeeper. I remember the Gatekeeper. Actually, the Gatekeeper used to be a great gaming store, and now it's a comic store.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the great work. I'll continue to listen. Sean Masters.
Yay!
Thank you, Salcor!
I wonder, he's in the Air Force. I wonder if he's a pilot. And I wonder if that's the name of his plane.
Salcor?
Would be sweet!
Would it be a Transformer then?
Possibly.
Is it let us know if it's a Decepticon or an Autobot. Mostly, jets are Decepticons, I've noticed.
I wonder if he signs his bombs then.
Salcor Matrix? Oh, I got nothing.
Salcor Matrix says
but
I.
Yes. Thank you very much,
yes,
Salcor. Or Sean. But yes, we are the Canadian Crusaders who live very diligently in the state of Kansas.
Just because.
Because we can.
It's kind of cold in Canada.
Also, we started up the website, you know, during the Bush administration, so really.
Yeah. So if we could move Kansas to Canada,
That would be quite a feat, really. It would be a lot colder.
Maybe if we could not be that cold and stay out of the French.
Well, then we'd have to move up closer to, like, I'm thinking Vancouver.
Because I don't speak French.
Well, yeah.
And I don't really want to learn French.
No French Canadian, yeah.
I mean, I have nothing against French Canadians. They're cool.
But they got
but
French.
But it's the French portion.
French, though.
Mm. I know.
Anyway, and last email is just a quick email from our favorite David Griffin. That apparently Dave just let us know about a problem he's having with the show on a iPhone 3G and a first edition iPod Touch. Apparently, when he downloads the episode, the actual play podcast don't show up in the podcast directory of the devices. In case of Deadlands, listen to the non-actual play stuff and resynced it, then they were there. I'm not sure what's going on with this. It is a, far as I know, it's only something that's happening to you, David. But,
so you're special. You've won the
you're
prize.
Special. You've won our...
That was our secret
yeah.
prize.
What's going on with David?
He won the secret prize.
Yes, you won the secret prize.
Well, congratulations to him, but seriously, what's going on?
He's running he's running 3.1 on an iPhone 3G and first edition iPod Touch. When he downloads some of our actual play episodes, the actual play stuff doesn't show up in the podcast directory of the devices. In the case of Deadlands, I listen to the non-actual play
That's
stuff
an
in a resynced.
3.1 OS issue.
Yeah, I got nothing. It's only happening to you, David.
No, it's not only just happening to him. It's just he's the only one of our listeners that's actually
being vocal about it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, if you actually go and look on the internet at the iPhone 3.1 OS system, you'll see that people are having serious different problems with it. And one of the problems that they're having is that the machine will lock up, or two, it won't actually download items from the iTunes store when it says it is. So this is an actual, this is a known issue with the OS 3.1 on the iPhone. There is a fix for it. Just go to Apple's website and check out their iPhone hot fixes, and that'll fix the problem for you.
But now
I just read a big, huge article.
He knows it's not a special prize anymore.
Well, no, it's a special prize for him because he's our only listener that's being affected by it.
Yes, but so far as I know, everything's working fine. Otherwise,
it's a known iPhone OS 3.1 issue.
It's so freaking creepy.
But you're just going back to the whole
I know.
Astral vagina
No,
thing,
it still or? Goes back to that tattoo, that horrible tattoo. It has destroyed me. God, I can't believe
Jeremy
they do
has
that.
Been destroyed. He is now a shadow of the man he used to be.
Why do such things like that?
I don't know.
That's it for the emails we got.
Keep sending emails.
Yes.
Send more emails.
I love getting emails.
Send
it's fun.
More of the emails about how amusing we are.
Oh, yes, yes. If you think we're amusing, let us know. If you think we're not amusing,
we don't care.
Stuff
but
it.
Tell us.
Or let us know and then stuff it.
Yeah. Then we'll tell you what we think.
Let us know and we'll tell you to stuff it.
Yeah, yeah. But still email us one way or another, really. And go to our website and give us money.
Right.
Because we have a donate button now.
And stop.
And David gave us $10.
That was nice of him.
Okay, really, David gave me $10 to go to Gen Con with.
That's very nice of him.
Yeah, so thank you, David.
That was nice.
I almost
that
forgive you
nice.
For saying I'm sadistic. Okay, really, I don't care. But yes, I did want to mention that real quick, that we have a donate button on the website. So if you want to give us money to get me to Gen Con, I don't care about these other guys, get me to Gen Con, then do that.
If there's
you know,
enough money left over, the rest of us will be given money to get to Gen Con as well. But first,
the money I don't spend on hookers and cocaine.
Yeah. First and foremost, Ethan needs money to go to Gen Con because the rest of us have jobs.
I have school.
Yeah. So Ethan's time is horribly devoted to becoming a scum-sucking lawyer later on in life. So he doesn't have...
Yes, whereas then I will have lots of money, hopefully, and, you know, no time, but still stuff.
And then you can think about going to Gen Con because you have the money, but you don't have time.
That's true. Well, I'll still be running CanCon, hopefully. So,
you know. Possibly.
Probably by that point in time...
You'll have the money, but again, you won't have the time. So you'll have to hire an assistant.
I will have to hire an assistant. That's true. Can it be a midget?
Very possibly. Or a gnome.
A gnome? What if it's a gnome that is a midget? Are there midget gnomes, really?
You could use...
I mean, are they like
gnome.
Half the size of gnomes?
I'm sorry, but you're a midget gnome. What the hell does that mean? That means you're smaller than the rest of us.
You're going to get kicked around for the rest of your life.
Huh. Weird. Anyway, that's our lovely show.
Yes, donate money to Ethan so Ethan can go to Gen Con. Please, because, Becca and I, if we go, we're not rooming in the same room with him, so he needs as much money as he possibly can.
That's true.
because Becca and I are going to have a room to ourselves. And if we're lucky, my youngest sister is going to come along, and she's going to bunk with us. So, yeah. Besides, on top of that, since James is already going, if we get our own room, that'll be two bathrooms. So when you get up in the morning and James has been in the bathroom for 3 hours, you can come over and use our bathroom.
That's true. Ready. Yes. I can come and use your bathroom for 3 hours.
Maybe there's a midget.
That's revenge!
Midget gnome in there?
No.
That would answer quite a bit.
I don't know why he takes so long, but he does.
He has to make himself pretty or something.
He gets up. He always got up like 2 or 3 hours before
there
everybody
probably
else.
Wasn't
was still in the
entrance
bathroom,
to Narnia up. In there. He would travel to Narnia, come back, and it would be like, you know, 20 years there, but only 3 hours.
Yeah, that makes more sense than I care to mention.
Well, that's our show for the evening. Thank you for listening, and
come back
next time.
Y'all come back now, you hear? Yeah, that song just goes crazy.
Yeah, we're just going to end it there. Because, you know, we just scared away everybody.
Yeah, it's time.
Nobody is listening.
Shut up.
If anyone's listening by this point, because we've been doing this outro bit for the last 6 minutes, then kudos to you.
Yes. You earn a cookie.
You get a gold star in the book. There is a book.
We don't have a book. We don't have money to buy a book.
Shut up, dude. They don't know this.
We have no book.
Only Zool.
Damn it, Jeremy, quit being True Blue.
We could buy beer with $10, though.
I don't drink beer.
Then you can buy soda.
But I already spent it on hookers.
And cocaine.
It's a cheap hooker. My God.
Believe
what
me.
Kind of disease did she give you for $10?
Oh, I didn't let her touch me. Oh, oh God.
You just gave her $10.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. This has been a Thousand Monkeys production. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can email the show at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com. Visit our website to find our episode archives, our actual play, our main feed, as well as promos, links, and a gallery. You'll also find our RPG Now Pick of the Week, our Amazon Pick of the Week, and you can even go through some of our snippet review episodes. We are also shameless, and if you wish to donate some money to the wonderful Gen Con Fund, or just give money to the show in general, there is also a donate button on our site via PayPal. So visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven is part of the Vorpal Network. The Gamers Haven podcast and Thousand Monkeys Productions and CantCon are copyright by Ethan Parker. Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music for the show is provided by Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. Other music is used with permission under license. Just like Bruce Campbell.